Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Frieda.
Well, you're up and dressed already, ma'am.
Oh, yes, I'm leaving very early.
Mrs. Benson said for me to bring you coffee and fruit at 7:30.
Oh, how kind, but I just didn't want to disturb anybody so early.
Are you not disturbing anybody, Mrs. Wakefield? Cook's up and I'm up.
Well, I'll drink the coffee quickly then, thank you very much. Then I'll be off.
It's not a good day for driving. Wind's coming in from the east and clouds are as heavy as lead.
Oh, I'm not driving, Frieda.
You not?
No, I'm taking the bus from North Falls. Mrs. Benson very kindly said her chauffeur would take me that far.
Well, that doesn't seem right, ma'am. Taking a bus all the way to the city?
Only to Belhaven. That's where I come from.
Belhaven?
Yes. Do you know it, Frieda?
I come from North Falls. I've been to Belhaven once or twice. That's where I saw the name Wakefield, on the library. The Wakefield Library.
Oh, that's the family name.
You're one of them?
No, I married one of them. My husband died 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry for that, ma'am. You're too young to be widowed. But the name comes back to me. There was one of them Wakefields got in bad trouble in North Falls. It was some time ago. I was only beginning high school. But there was a girl killed. Before your time, I guess.
Frieda, this coffee is marvelous.
Our cook grinds it herself. She makes it fresh.
Do you work here regularly for the Bensons?
No, I just come for the weekend parties. I'm studying to be a nurse at North Falls Hospital.
Oh, that's super.
Mr. Benson is helping me out. I couldn't do it without them. Not with seven of us to be raised at home.
You like nursing?
Oh, yes. I love helping people get well and feel good again. That's why I like coming here weekends, seeing people have a good time. But I wouldn't want to work here during the week.
Oh, you're too busy for that.
That's not that alone. The place is like a big stone prison with the two of them rattling around. Mrs. Benson is jumpy as a cricket walking these empty rooms.
Well, I'd better go now. Nobody's up yet.
Just Mr. Cushing, prowling around downstairs.
Frieda, are you a friend of mine?
Sure, Mrs. Wakefield.
Well, I don't want to meet anybody this morning. I just don't want to disturb the household.
I understand.
Is there a side entrance I could go out?
You can go right down the back stairs and through the kitchen. Cook won't mind at this hour. Go out the back and follow the drive around to where the car will be.
Oh, thank you. And Frieda, good luck.
Thanks, Mrs. Wakefield.
When do you graduate from nursing school?
Next June.
I'd like to be there.
All the way to North Falls?
Well, just maybe I will go all the way to North Falls.
Good morning, Frieda.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Cushing. You haven't had any breakfast yet?
I haven't wanted any.
Oh, I'll see to it right away.
Frieda, there's a lady leaving this house very early this morning, and I've been waiting for her.
Oh?
Yes, she's planning on taking a 9 o'clock bus from North Falls. But I haven't seen her come downstairs yet.
Who is that, sir?
Mrs. Wakefield. I'm going to drive her down to Belhaven myself. I don't want to miss her.
Oh. She's already left the house, sir.
Well, she couldn't have. I've been waiting in the front hall.
Well, she must have gone out another way, then.
Oh. Which way, Frieda?
Well, she didn't want to disturb anybody in the house.
Mm-hmm. Which way did she go?
I guess she didn't know you were going to drive her.
Frieda, I suspect you. Where did Mrs. Wakefield go?
Out the back way, sir. Through the kitchen.
I see.
Then around to where the car will be waiting.
Well, that's fine. You're forgiven.
For what, Mr. Cushing?
For aiding and abetting.
What's that?
I haven't time now to explain, but you're a splendid girl.
Thank you, Mr. Cushing.
Oh, and a message for Mrs. Benson. Tell her I'll call her from the city.
Hello, Sweeney. How did you come to see me off?
Wake everybody up.
Oh, you're a lovely boy. Real friend. Oh, Sweeney, I'm going to go home. A lot happened in that big house last night. Not all of it good. You wouldn't understand that. Where's that car? It was supposed to be right here in the drive. Well, I can't walk back to North Falls, that's for sure. Sweeney, I'm stuck.
Good morning, Kate.
Stephen, where did you come from?
I reckon a morning walk. Are you leaving?
Yes, I'm taking the bus from North Falls.
I see.
It's all right, Sweeney.
Look,
you
get rid of that dog, will you?
Don't you like him?
Well, I don't make a fuss over dogs, particularly. I must admit, I'm a little surprised to see you at this hour with your bag.
Why?
Well, after our talk last night, I thought you'd have something to say to me before you left.
Stephen, our talk was most unpleasant for me, and I have nothing at all to say about it.
You seem to forget, my dear girl, that I asked you for something.
You asked me for something I don't have. I don't believe it exists.
You don't want to believe. Kate, every word that I told you about your late husband was the truth. He took part in a drug ring.
I don't want to hear it again.
Well, you're going to. You're going to hear it from me until you believe it. Because if you don't, someone else will come to you. And you will be in trouble. I was a friend to Tom. I don't see why. Why can't you realize that? I'm a friend. All right, shall I begin again?
No.
All right, point two. While he was sailing among the islands with you, my dear, picking up cocaine from one boat and delivering it to another, he skimmed away a tidy amount.
You told me that last night.
Yeah, when I helped Tom out of his trouble in North Falls, he wanted me to know where it was in case anything should happen to him. He said he would send me a letter with a map or a description of some sort.
I told you, I know nothing about it.
Yet you were with him all that time, sailing in that boat.
If he had been into anything like that, I would have known it.
When you had time to think it over, perhaps you'll remember.
I can't remember what I never knew.
Well, in that case, I cannot guarantee your husband's crimes can be kept secret, or that you will not be involved.
Down, Sweeney, down. Kate, I've been looking for you.
You're out early, Tony.
You're even earlier, Steve.
When you spent time in prison, as I have, the morning air is very precious.
Yes. Kate, may I talk to you?
What about?
Well, if you'd rather be alone, Kate.
No. What is it about, Tony?
Oh, hell, I don't care if your friend Steve hears. I heard you were leaving early. I want to drive you to Bellhaven or into the city or any place else you want.
Thank you, but I'm only going to the North Falls bus stop. Holly told me her chauffeur would drive me.
I've already talked to the chauffeur. I said I'd drive you instead.
Without telling me?
Kate, I can't let you leave like this.
Well, I'm sorry you did it this way, Tony, but all right, I'll drive with you as far as the bus station, but I want to leave now.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective. Faces of Love has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Greetings and salutations, my dear listeners. I am, as you know, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair, but I fear not at my writing best this day. A bit dyspeptic after a rather wet night, and thus quite in sympathy with Miss Matilda Crawley, who herself suffers from overindulgence. However, she is in far worse condition, having been leached and cupped unnecessarily, as we know. That horrendous process and the inability to entertain food has weakened her most pathetically. Let us then enter the sick chamber and Becky's mind.
What a peevish patient. Oh, thank heaven she sleeps. But awake, why does she say nothing of London? Oh, only because right now she thinks of nothing save her foolish fear of dying. I must hold my temper, indulge her every whim, please her, amuse her, do all in my power to keep her ill until I transport her and myself to London.
Picture to yourselves, O young listeners, a worldly, selfish, graceless, thankless, religionless old woman, writhing in pain and fear and without a wig, fretting over the future world she quite ignores when in good health. Picture her, and ere you be old, learn to pray. She wakes.
Oh, am I dead? Am I dead?
No, Miss Crawley, you've had a very restoring sleep.
Oh, how I fear to sleep, lest I never will.
Ah, now you see, all is well.
All is not well. I scarce can lift my hand.
All will be well very soon.
If I do not die before. Oh, I've lived a wicked life, Rebecca. The flames of hell await me.
I'm certain the gates of heaven await you, but they will wait a very long time. Soon, I promise, you will be well and quite yourself. Well, of course, not here, as Dr. Smollett said, but in London. Well, you did hear the doctor's advice that you'll regain your health much sooner in London.
Oh, country bumpkin knows nothing.
Not about your illness, dear Miss Crawley, but he's quite right about the damp country air. Not good for you at all, nor this drafty, cold house. You should be in your own cozy house in Park Lane.
Oh.
Miss Crawley?
Oh, at the bat's foot. It's the devil. Fork, tail and horns, waiting to snatch me into the flames. Tis Satan himself.
Dear, dear, Miss Crawley, it is I standing at the foot of your bed.
Rebecca?
Oh, I shouldn't have worn this red frock. Oh, I'm so terribly sorry.
Oh. Rotten. What rotten?
You sent him to London. You don't remember?
Sent him? Sent him?
He went at dawn. Oh, what a pity. But were you in London, he would be at your bedside. Miss Crawley? Would that not help you to feel better, your dear nephew in attendance?
Where is the doctor?
Oh, surely you don't want Dr. Smollett again. You should have your own physician.
Yes.
Yes? Yeah, shall I pack your things, Miss Crawley? Yes? You could leave within the hour.
Alone? Can't. Would die on the way.
Oh, not alone. Certainly not alone. I would not allow it. I shall go with you, be at your side the whole of the journey, and stay as long as ever you need me. I have much experience nursing. My dear papa was an invalid for many years, and Dr. Smollett did say how splendidly I was nursing you. You do remember that, Miss Crawley?
Miss Crawley!
Oh, drat! She hears nothing! What am I to do?
What Becky can find to do had best been done quickly, if I am any judge. Recall, dear listeners, that Miss Bute Crawley has set out for Miss Pinkerton's school to inquire of Miss Pink regarding Miss Sharp's character and history. Shall we join these two ladies after I take a needed rest?
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Miss Minerva Pinkerton, headmistress of Miss Pinkerton's Academy for Young Ladies. My listeners, you made the acquaintance of that majestic personage when first Vanity Fair began, and were made privy to the fact that Miss Pink despised Rebecca Sharp, and Miss Sharp returned the compliment. The lady sits now in the parlor with a former pupil, Mrs. Bute Crawley. And I fear you must bear with the tiresome formalities while Mrs. B butters up Miss P.
My dear Miss Pinkerton, it is many years since I profited by your invaluable instruction, yet I have ever retained the fondest and most reverential regard for you.
It is most gratifying to one in my arduous position to find that my teaching has elicited responsive affection.
Your health is good, I trust?
It is.
The world and the cause of education cannot afford to lose Miss Pinkerton for many, many years.
All of this is most agreeable to hear. And now, my dear Martha, To what happy circumstance do I owe this visit?
I wish to obtain information regarding another former pupil, one Rebecca Sharp.
Rebecca?
She is, as you know, governess to my brother-in-law's two dear little girls.
Upon my recommendation for the situation, yes. Rebecca's talents and accomplishments are of a very high order.
Oh.
She does credit to the educational system pursued at my establishment. Otherwise, I would not have recommended her.
Oh, I am quite aware of the excellence of the training you gave her.
You may not be aware that I received Miss Sharp out of charity, educating the poor orphan without remuneration.
You can, then, tell me something of her history.
I can. Her father, a gifted artist, was drawing master here before his health failed.
Her mother?
Her female parent died, I believe, when Rebecca was but a child.
That is all you can tell me?
I can think of nothing that would interest you.
Her character?
Did I not train her, Martha?
Oh, Miss Pinkerton, have you nothing to say in her disfavor? Nothing?
Would I have recommended her had there been anything against her character?
Oh, I so hope.
Dear me, dear me. Can there be something wrong with that lovely young woman?
She is not a lovely young woman, and I must open the eyes of those who believe she is.
Oh, so that is how matters stand. My dear Martha, it may be that I can aid you.
Can you? Can you?
Mind you, I did not learn of this until after Rebecca had departed. The girl comes of a most disreputable ancestry.
Oh?
Her father, after he left here, became a dissolute drunkard, was several times bankrupt, and ended in a pauper's grave.
Oh!
She represented her mother as a French countess. Imagine my horror upon learning that she was a person of the very lowest order and morals.
Yes, yes.
A dancing girl.
Oh.
Now, it is a great shock to me to learn that Rebecca's heredity has ruined a young creature of such promise.
Oh, Miss Pinkerton, I must go, and quickly. My poor sister-in-law is very ill, and that serpent is nursing her. I must evict her from the bedchamber at once. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, dear Miss Pink.
Oh, with what grim satisfaction, dear Miss Pink, took revenge upon the rebel of whom she once said, I have nourished a viper in my bosom. Tomorrow, faithful listeners, I shall expect you, your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun.
So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Bob, wake up. Dear! Wake up, I heard something. Wake up!
Wait a minute, what's the matter?
I heard a noise. It was like a door slam.
Wait a minute. If there's a burglar, he's certainly not going to slam a door, right?
I'm not sure it was a door. It was a sound. It was kind of muffled, but I know I heard something.
Honey, no. Don't turn on the light.
I think we better go downstairs and investigate. Get up.
Yeah, okay. I might as well. You won't give me any rest till I do.
I'm going to go with you. Here's your bathroom.
No, you stay here.
No, we don't have anything to protect ourselves with either. I think we should have a gun of some kind.
No. I won't have a gun in the house. You'd get so nervous, you'd probably shoot me if I came in creeping in late at night.
Maybe we better call the police instead of going downstairs. I mean, we don't have anything to protect us, do
we? No, I'm not going to call the police. You're always hearing noises. Remember the night the cat knocked over the lamp? You had the police whizzing up here with the sirens screaming.
If you're going downstairs, you take something to protect yourself.
Such as?
Oh. One of your wooden shoe trees here?
Oh,
here, take it. Have something in your hand.
Okay.
I'll take the pepper.
Okay. Wait a minute. You take the what?
The pepper. I keep a little sack of pepper by my bedside here.
Pepper?
To throw in someone's eyes if they start to attack me.
Where'd you get those ideas?
I don't know. It was a movie I saw one time, or maybe I read it. I don't know.
Well, if there is someone downstairs, he must have heard us talking by this time and has gotten out the back door.
I'll turn on the hall light, dear. Dear, now, call first before you go down, dear.
Anybody down there? Oh, well, that's kind of dumb. If somebody is down there, he's certainly not going to answer me.
What's the matter?
It's all right, Aunt Maggie. Just go back to bed,
it's
huh?
It's not all right. I thought I heard a noise downstairs, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, my goodness. Burglar.
No. I don't think it's anything at all. Now, please, everybody stop worrying. Just go back to bed, Aunt Maggie.
Well, I am certainly not going back to bed. I'll come downstairs with you.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. Your mother thought she heard something downstairs.
I didn't think I heard. I'm coming with you. This is ridiculous.
I'm not going to stay upstairs alone.
Me neither.
No, we're not going to let you go downstairs alone, dear.
No.
I'll come with you.
No, there's safety in numbers.
Now, look, please. Will you all please stay right here, and I will go down and check the entire house.
We're coming with you, dear. You are staying here. Now, stay right up here. We're going to stay right here at the head of the stairs now.
What is it you think you heard, Mother?
I don't know. It was just a funny sound. It was kind of muffled, you know, but I mean, I know I heard it.
I think we better go downstairs.
I think we better lock ourselves in a bathroom.
Well, I'm going down. I want Daddy down there alone.
All right. Let's all go.
Don't trip on your nightgown, Aunt Maggie.
I won't.
Dear? We're coming down. Keep turning on all the lights.
Okay. Well, there's nobody in the living room. Nobody in the den.
Debbie, look in the hall closet, will you?
Okay.
I'll check the kitchen.
What about the basement?
I'll check on that right now.
There's nobody in the hall closet here. I'm really scared.
I think we should call the police.
No, we are not calling the police.
I think we should, Daddy.
I have gone through this with your mother all our married life. She hears more noises than anybody I've ever known.
Well, there are certainly a lot more burglaries now than there used to be.
Where are you going?
Down to the basement.
Oh, no. The basement door is bolted, so they couldn't get up that way anyway. I don't want you prowling around down there. I mean, with all those dark corners. Turn on the outside light.
Sorry.
Did you hear that?
Officer, After my wife thought she heard something, we all came downstairs. We turned on the outside lights.
And then I saw a flashlight running down the driveway. Well, not a flashlight. I mean, somebody was carrying a flashlight.
Are you all right, Aunt Maggie?
Yes. Yes, I think so. My heart is just beating a mile a minute.
Excuse me, but would you like me to get your aunt into the hospital? I mean, you know, sometimes these things are a little too much for the, you know, the elderly.
What do you mean, elderly?
Oh, he didn't mean anything, Aunt Maggie.
I am hardly elderly.
No, well, I'm sorry, ma'am. I mean, you just said your heart was pumping.
Well, I am perfectly all right, thank you.
So you think it was just a bunch of kids, huh, officer?
Yeah, we're pretty sure we know who they are, but we can't seem to catch them in the act. They've been stealing gas out of a lot of cars lately. You'll just be lucky if they didn't put sand in your tank, too. Or water, more likely sand or sugar.
Sand,
oh,
great.
Sugar. That's just great. Oh,
well, I know one thing. We are going to get some decent locks and bolts on our doors and our windows and the garage.
Well, it's the smartest thing to do these days. Out here in the country, you're not up against the professionals so much. You can get in most anywhere, but you've got the kids, and some of them are getting pretty clever about breaking in, you know, taking radios and color TV, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And when they can't find anything else to do, they just siphon gas out of the tank.
Oh, yeah, especially with the cost of gas going up.
Oh, that's right. Well, look, I'll make a report here. And you see anything that was taken out of the garage?
Well, I don't know. I can't see anything, but then I can't remember everything that was in here. If I do, I'll let you know.
All right. Okay. I'll say goodnight now.
Oh, my goodness. Let's get back in the house. Standing out here in our night clothes. Aunt Meg, you're going to catch pneumonia.
I am no more likely to catch pneumonia than any of you. I do not like being treated as though I'm on my last day.
Come on now. Well, get in the house, all of you.
Oh, Aunt, I did not faint. I may have felt faint, but I did not faint.
No, all right.
Oh, honestly. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll never get to sleep. Gives me the creeps to think of somebody prowling around our house.
I know. Gives me the creeps to think of somebody prowling about in our house. And tomorrow, dear, don't do anything else. You know, you have been saying all right, for ages.
I will get the locksmith out here and discuss all the possible safety precautions, okay?
You know, my hands are just shaking.
I'm shaking all over.
Well, you get back up to bed, dear. You have to go to school tomorrow.
I won't be able to sleep.
Why don't I fix us all some hot chocolate?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good idea.
Wanting to rush me to the hospital.
Well, Aunt Maggie, no.
Calling me an old lady.
Yeah, oh, come on. He didn't say you're an old lady.
He was a young policeman. You know how young people always think anybody over 40 is old.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Why don't you find the chocolate in the pantry, Aunt Maggie, and I'll get the milk warmed up.
All right.
You know what that's going to cost if those kids put sand or sugar in my gas tank? Huh?
No, and I just do not think about it.
I should have had a lock put on my gas tank, as you warned me to do. Well, don't say it.
Well, it can't be helped now.
My, it's just terrible, terrible. I can remember the days when we never locked any of our doors. Nobody ever thought of such a thing.
And, well, we locked our doors when I was little, but then we put the key either under the mat or above the door, you know? First place anybody would have looked if they wanted to get in.
Well, I'm going to have some toast with my hot chocolate.
All right.
Anybody else want some?
Yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. That sounds good, honey. Well, I'll have some.
I bet I know who those kids are.
Well, now, wait a minute. Don't start accusing people. Leave that to the cops, huh?
I bet one of them was that Findlay kid.
Maybe so, but don't go around saying so. We don't want the Fiddleys winding up suing us for slander.
And they would, too. She won't hear anything against her darling boy.
Well, they don't care what he does. They never come home anyway. They're off in Florida half the time. They just got a housekeeper living there.
Okay, therefore, the boy has a problem. But it is not your place to go around saying so to anyone that you think he's the one who's stealing things.
Well, even the cops said that they're pretty sure who's doing it.
All right. But if you say so and it gets repeated and they can track it back to who said it, you or most likely me... Or we can be sued, and you just better keep that in mind.
Okay, I put in the bread for toast, dear.
Here's the hot chocolate.
Oh, fine.
Oh, my, such excitement.
Now, look who is finally ambling out to the kitchen. Our glorious watchdog.
Oh, Woody's such a sleepy boy.
What's such a big yawn?
Feels so good to stretch, doesn't it? Oh, mommy boy, Alex, such a nice doggy.
Where was he when we needed
nice
him, huh?
Doggy.
Boy, that's some watchdog.
Oh, every time I come to visit you, there's never a dull moment.
Yeah.
A Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast! Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Betsy?
Oh, hi, Daddy. I didn't hear you drive in.
Well, I left the car for a wash and walked home. Isn't it kind of late in the year for tennis?
I guess so. But it feels good to smash the ball.
Oh. Where's your mother?
She's doing her nails, I think.
And your Aunt Cora?
She's at the church thrift sale.
Well, that leaves just us, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to hit some balls?
Thanks, but what about a good old father-daughter talk?
Uh-oh.
Honey, I've been worried about you.
What about? School's okay.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but school isn't everything.
Well, you didn't say that last year when I cut a couple classes.
You're right. We didn't want you to fail, but that's not the whole thing.
What do you mean?
Well, now you're a year older.
That's not news, Daddy.
And maybe we expect more grown-up behavior from you.
But Mom still treats me like a kid. I have to tell her where I'm going and who I've seen and when I'll be back.
Oh, I know. Well, you see, she worries about you.
Well, why doesn't she trust me?
Have you always been honest with her?
Daddy, it's like catch-22. If I tell her what I'm doing, she yells at me. And if I don't, she yells at me.
Oh, it's a tough age. 16.
But why?
Well, you see, for you, it's grown up. For us, it's...
Yeah, I'm still a kid who's supposed to act grown up.
Well, your friend Susie doesn't seem to have so much trouble being 16.
It's different for her.
In what way?
I don't know. It's just different. Maybe it's because she's not an only kid.
Well, how would that make a difference?
The word gets spread around?
Maybe you're right.
Listen, Daddy, I have to go.
Well, where? I'm sorry. All right, honey.
Susie asked me for dinner.
Betsy.
Yeah?
If there's anything you want to talk about, anything bothering you, you would tell me, wouldn't you?
Well, sure. Sure I would.
Okay, honey. I'll see you later.
Sure.
Oh, come on. A kiss for your old papa. Thanks.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Goodbye.
Well, hello, Marsh.
Hello, Ginger.
Did Betsy leave already?
Yeah, just now.
Maybe you and I can go out for dinner. Cora's going to have supper with some friends at church.
Let's talk first.
Oh?
I was just talking to Betsy.
I see. She's certainly been acting strange lately.
Ginger, Cora thought she might be planning to do something. I mean, like run away.
That's ridiculous, Marsh.
Why do you say that?
Well, she has everything here. Why would she want to do something as crazy as that? I bet it's that bunch of kids she sees.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Well, maybe if she were happier at home.
So it's my fault?
I didn't say that.
I've been a good mother.
Ginger, I'm sure you have.
I can't help it if she meets the wrong kind at school.
I don't think that's the problem.
All right. Then what is? You haven't spent much time with her. What's your answer?
I think it goes way back.
What do you mean?
We've never been honest with Betsy, and I think she must sense it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, Ginger.
I don't want to talk about it.
We have to. We've waited too long.
You promised, Marsh.
I never should have.
Well, anyway, what difference does it make?
Ginger, you haven't heard a word I said. Betsy is unhappy. That's what's important.
Oh, it's probably her age.
Look, we just should have told her a long time ago.
Told her what?
That she's adopted.
No, that's not true.
Ginger, you know it is.
No, you can't say that. Everybody knows she's ours. Mine.
Of course, darling. Of course they do. We adopted her. We made her ours.
Marsh, you've got to stop this. What are you doing? You're trying to destroy us.
For God's sake, Ginger, can't you face the truth? Can't you see what living a lie is doing to us?
I won't talk about it.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Julia, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shuffle, kick.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Phew, that's enough.
But you were winning.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the matter? You've been Gloom City.
I don't know.
Hey, I can use the help of some experienced table setters.
You got them. Come on, Betsy. Hello, Mrs. Carter.
Hello, Betsy. How are you, dear?
Fine, thank you.
No, don't let her fool you, Mom. She's on a downer.
Oh? Anything special?
No, it's nothing.
Just everything, hmm?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, now, let's see what we can do about that.
How many for dinner?
Let's see now. There'll be 5 of us, dear. Your Aunt Angela's picking up Jennifer at her dance class.
All righty. Did Daddy call?
Mm-hmm. He'll be home in a day or so, he said.
Oh, great. We'll have to do something.
Well, from what he said, all he's really going to want to do is to get about a week of sleep.
Daddy said he wished he could have gone to Brixton, too.
Well, I'm sure he did. But he was needed here, at the hospital.
I think he wanted to get away from home.
Well, everybody wants to get away from home once in a while.
They do? Betsy, could you fold the napkins?
Yeah, sure.
Girls, I have an idea.
Shall I sit down?
Oh, Susie. No, seriously, after dinner, let's make something.
Like what?
Well, batch of fudge.
Oh, Mom, all that sugar. Aunt Cora said they used to make something called taffy when they were little.
Taffy?
Yeah. You had to pull it, she said.
Well, of course. Hey, let's try it. Here, Betsy, here's a cookbook. I'm sure it has a recipe. You look it up, please.
Okay. Ooh, it takes a lot of sugar.
I guess if it's candy, it has to.
Yeah. Oh, there's Charlie. That's your hungry cry, Charlie. Betsy, do you want to feed him for me?
Sure, Mrs. Carter.
All right, there's the can and the opener.
Hey, in a minute, Charlie.
You know, we're going to need the candy thermometer for the taffy.
Hey, it says here on the recipe you really pull the taffy. With your bare hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right, honey. But you butter them first, don't you?
Then I guess you lick your hands and throw the taffy away.
Oh, look at him eat.
All right, Betsy, why don't you get everything together for the taffy?
Okay.
And then right after dinner, we'll...
Hey, don't let's tell Aunt Angela and Jennifer what we're going to do.
Why not?
Oh, we'll make them guess. I'll bet they don't get it.
This is going to make a lot.
Well, you can take some home with you, Betsy. That is, if it's a great success.
Oh, it will be.
And we'll save some for Daddy. What made you think of it, Mom?
Well, I didn't, honey. It was Betsy's idea. It seemed like a good one.
Hey, Bets, do you know the hustle?
Yeah, Chucky showed me last week.
Mom, do you mind if Betsy shows me a new dance?
No, everything's all set for dinner.
Okay, come on down to the rec room. I think I have a record there.
Just okay. Don't turn that music on too loud.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this record player. It's so dusty.
Well, it's Bobby's. He hasn't used it since he went off to college.
Yeah. Okay. Put on the record. Okay, now what?
All right.
Okay. Jump,
bump. Oh, come on, I'll never do that.
Inside, outside, 1, 2, 3.
Outside,
inside, 1, 2, 3.
Recuperate.
Oh,
shit.
Okay, come on, go ahead, try.
Okay.
Inside.
No, wait, no, jump.
Bump.
I'm not very coordinated
with
this time.
Hey, kids.
Yeah.
You ready? Oh, okay. Coming.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Have and to Hold features William Redfield as Marsh, Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily. Also appearing were Sherita Bauer and Ian Martin. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.